Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and we're back. We took a little break last week, but I am excited to bring you the 110th episode of the show this week. Somehow, it's all gone by really fast, but we also have a ways to go. So however you got here today, whether on an audio podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, etc., or watching on YouTube, thank you. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't yet. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. Click the link in our bio on both profiles to purchase merch or go to shop.believe.com. There are three different shirts available covering our bases, Safer Out, and Catch You Soon. All right, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll be covering our bases. I'll give you some news and callouts from around the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with Courtney Dyfel. She has really just led the evolution of Razorback softball down in Arkansas and in recent years, but also a longtime contributor and person who makes an impact in the softball community. So I'm excited for this one. Then we'll end things with the Foul Tip of the Week, where we share tips to help us get better. All right, let's get started. Covering our bases. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games, the conference championships, right through to the Final Four and championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, again, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And today, at first, we're starting with women's history. Because yes, it's the end of Women's History Month, but also just because it's meaningful all the time, especially on this show. So let's take a look at the Big Ten. Ohio State took the series from Michigan. This is the first weekend series win for the Buckeyes over the Wolverines since 1990. 33 years it took for them to do it again. That is more than the entire lives of all the players participating in this game. And it was a cool weekend too. You know, they lost in extras in game one, but then they won the next two. And in game three, it was a one-run game, 8-7. Just such a classic, like, rivalry setup. You know, standing room only crowd. Rivalries are just the best. Just the best. And just so the, well, not only for this, but also so that the Michigan fans, you know, they don't come at me for highlighting Ohio State. They are also renaming their field to honor Carol Hutchins. Now, we've talked about her plenty of times on the show. Longtime head coach, really just synonymous with Michigan softball, to say the least. She retired in summer 2022, so first season this year without her at the helm. But the winningest softball coach in NCAA. I mean, a four-decade career, national championship back in 2005. Some of you might remember on the pod back in season two, we had Samantha Finley on as a guest, who was one of the players on that team, and she talked about the title run and playing under Hutch. Go back and listen to that and watch it if you're interested. But just in terms of, I guess, history, 22 regular season Big Ten titles, 10 tournament championships, 29 NCAA appearances in the tournament, and 27 consecutive to end her career. So big deal is the bottom line. about Carroll Hutchins, and they're going to officially dedicate the field in April to be Alumni Field at Carroll Hutchins Stadium. And this is cool because it reminded me of when they did the same really quickly after Mike Kindrea's retirement, but a little bit flipped. It was Mike Kindrea Field at Rita Hillenbrand Stadium. He was the other winningest coach that would kind of switch back and forth with Hutch throughout the year. So I love to see it for both of them. Also, the NFCA First Team All-American selections in the utility and pitcher category are now going to carry the name of the late Joan Joyce. She's someone we've also talked about on the show before. Recently, it was the first anniversary of her passing. She was 81 years old last year. Longtime Florida Atlantic University head coach, over 1,000 wins, 12 conference championships, 8 conference coach of the year awards. She was inducted into 20 different halls of fame. Incredible. Like, I'm speechless about that. Struck out famous baseball players also. Like, this is kind of like one of her claims to fame. Struck out Hank Aaron and Ted Williams. Like, this was a big deal. This was back before even, you know, Billie Jean King did her like Battle of the Sexes with tennis, right? So this was really, really cool. And she was also a multi-sport athlete. It wasn't just softball, but she did play with the Rays' Besto Sprakettes. She had a 0.09 ERA. You heard that right, 0.09. 50 perfect games and a 324 batting average. We all know I love a two-way player. She was also a player, a coach, and an official in volleyball and an All-American basketball player, a member of the U.S. national team. So she was a busy lady. And if anyone represents women's history, it's her. So players today can really thank players like her for the path that they paved. Second, speaking of today's players, Aaliyah Jordan is back. She has been medically cleared to play after tearing her ACL last year during the St. Pete Clearwater Invitational. So pretty early on in the season, she was granted a medical hardship waiver by the Pac-12 and the NCAA, and it gave her a very rare 7th season with the UCLA Bruins. Because remember, this is her second season-ending injury. She did have one as a freshman in 2017, too. She tore ACL in her right knee, and it's just been quite the journey for her. And like every other player, too, she's also earned that extra year of eligibility because of COVID and the shortened 2020 season. So she's 24 years old. You know, and I remember I was 21 at the end of my senior year. 24 is closer to sort of the prime years to play that a lot of us talk about in terms of professional softball. It's really that like 25 to 27 age range. That's more of your prime. And she's closer to that, getting to do that within the college game. But I just loved her announcement. It was like that classic press release playing on Michael Jordan's when he came back to basketball. And it literally just said, "I'm back." And it was just so epic. And I love to see that kind of energy within our game. And it was cool because I talked to our last guest, as you all know, Tori Tyson, about being the first HBCU to play a scheduled game at UCLA with Howard. I wish Aaliyah Jordan could have participated, but I'm glad she's back now. Also, my second Softball America article was recently published about Tori Tyson. It's called "With Coaching in Her Blood, Tori Tyson Writes Her Own Story." You heard from her last time on the last episode, but there are a lot of layers to her story, so you can learn even more about it there. All right, third is the SEC is a roller coaster. I feel like that's the only way to describe it at this point in time in the season. We are seeing why 3 different teams received first place votes in the preseason coaches poll. No one was really sure how it was going to play out, and we're still not really sure how it's going to play out. And an example of this is the Texas A&M and Kentucky series that was in Lexington recently. So the Aggies beat the Wildcats 14-13 in game 1 of Saturday's doubleheader. So then later that same day, they also run ruled them 10-0 in 5 innings in game 2. Fast forward to Sunday, Kentucky fights back, run rules A&M 10-2 in 5 innings. So just the amount of scoring was very, very up and down. And I think it's something to point out because consistency is one of the hardest things to do, but it's also one of the most important, especially as we get later into the season, because whoever can be the most consistent down the stretch is likely who's going to rise to the top, especially for that regular season standing situation, but also just for confidence going into the tournaments, conference tournament and NCAA tournament. But I want to give credit to just to Kentucky for the ability to respond as well. Yeah, they lost the series, but they got run ruled and they punched back the next day to run rule themselves. So how you respond to things is also part of that championship mindset. And I talk about it all the time on the broadcast that I'm a part of. And we're going to talk a bit more about the SEC landscape in today's interview too. So to bring it home, I just want to talk about how much I'm loving conference play in general. You know, I have my first TV series this season with Pac-12 Network now that conference play has started. This past weekend, it was Oregon State at Stanford. I got to see a past guest of this show who was awesome. Y'all remember we had her actually around for the Title IX anniversary, Laura Berg. I got to see her in person. She's the Oregon State head coach and most decorated USA Olympic softball player in history, if you didn't know. And it was just really nice to connect with a guest in person. I love it. It's not that often that that gets to happen because we cover such a wide range, really internationally even, on this show. So I'm also going to be calling Utah playing at Cal this weekend on Pac-12 Network. Both Utah's head coach, Amy Hogue, and Cal's head coach, Chelsea Spencer, have also been guests on this show. So I'm very excited to see them in person too. Relationships, you know, they're just the best part. So I'm looking forward to going to Berkeley. And if you didn't know, someone who is very familiar with that field is today's guest. So let's head into the interview. She is the head coach at Arkansas, the winningest coach in Razorback softball history, back-to-back SAC coach of the year and regular season champ, and All-American player and national champion at Cal, Courtney Dyfel. Coach, thank you for joining me today. I'm really excited about this.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited as well.
And I know that you're a Cal alum, so I just thank you for being willing to talk to a Stanford alum.
Well, it's been a few years removed, so the rivalry has, dimmed a little bit, but making this one exception. No, I'm just kidding. All good.
That's fine. I'll take that. I'll take it. I'm actually covering the Utah is visiting Cal this weekend for a series in Berkeley with Pac-12 Network, and I'm doing coach calls. I'm actually going to talk to your old teammate, Chelsea Spencer, later today. Too. So
yeah, that'll be exciting. Talk about having fun. You're going to have a lot more fun on her call than mine. But we celebrated our national championship in the fall, and we all went back to Berkeley, a good chunk of our group. And it was a really fun weekend, and it was just nice to be back. And so anyways, it's always a fun place. It's not for everyone, but I loved it. And it was pretty cool to go back and take my husband and kids and show them the old stomping grounds and all that. So enjoy your trip.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I've talked to Chelsea before, and I've told her actually, I was like, I don't know if I've liked Cal grads this much. Like, I like your energy. This is new for me, you know, to experience this. So
yes, absolutely. I don't know where she gets all her energy, but she definitely has a ton of it. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, and that's right. You said you celebrated your championship because it was the 20th anniversary of the national championship, which is awesome. Yeah. Back in 2002. That's so cool that you guys were able to come together to do that.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool weekend. It also just reminds us all that we're pretty old when you're celebrating 20 years. But it was really fun. They did it right. It was a fun celebration. It was cool to see everyone, and it's nice.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Well, I saw that your sister too, like, has obviously a big role in the softball community too. I just covered Oregon State at Stanford this past weekend. Caught up with Beavers head coach Laura Berg, and I realized your sister, Amanda Scott, won a national championship with her as an All-American pitcher at Fresno State, right, in 98?
Yes, she was. I like to brag about her. She was the stud of the world. You know, she was just really, really good. Four-time first-team All-American at Fresno State. They won a national championship. She was World Series MVP, got to play with, outstanding players like Laura Berg. Laura Berg's pitching coach is Jamie Southern. I went to high school with Jamie. Jamie followed my sister at Fresno. So the softball world is pretty small when you really start diving in, and there's just some really, really outstanding people and humans. But yeah, it's like a who's who of softball. Laura Berg, Jamie Southern, Amanda Scott. All those. It's pretty exciting.
Totally. Yeah. And now she's the head coach at Missouri St. Louis, right? Your sister?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Correct. Yep.
That's cool. I love the pitcher catcher sister dynamic as well. That seems like it was probably interesting growing up.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I actually grew up pitching. So we ended up, like, we went to the same pitching coach. And when we started, my mom caught us, my dad caught us sometimes. And when we started throwing harder, my mom kind of was like, okay, you guys catch each other. And so we would catch each other and do that. But I always tell, I do the pitching here, and I always tell them I came to my senses and stopped pitching and went behind the bat and kind of looked at it that way. But yeah, it was fun. You know, the only time I ever actually caught her was in the Pro League. We played in the Pro League in the first year of the MPF. We played for a team out of New Jersey, New York, New Jersey Juggernaut, and she pitched and I caught. And that was the only time we actually pitched and caught in a game, like on a, in a competitive setting. So that was really, really fun. We overlapped in high school 1 year, but I played shortstop. And so I didn't get to catch her, although I did get to play behind her. And I'm not sure there's anything better than playing behind Amanda Scott and her competitiveness. So I'm pretty lucky I got a front row seat to seeing one of the best competitors I've ever had the privilege of watching. So pretty cool.
That's really, really cool. And I love how you're like, yeah, whatever. I went to Cal, I won national championship. And then I bring your sister up and you're like, oh yes, let me tell you all the things about why she's amazing.
How good she was. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I'm her biggest fan on and off the field. So it's pretty incredible. I'm not sure there's that many four-time first team All-Americans. I just think it's like just so cool.
It is. So, anyway. It is really cool. Yeah. I know. I know. We're starting kind of over to the side here, but you know, it's the end of Women's History Month, but I think it's always important for us to kind of understand like what is the path that led us all here to wherever we are now. So I appreciate you kind of indulging me a little bit there because I think all that is really cool background.
Yeah, absolutely. We can stay on that topic as long as you want. I'm obviously a huge women's advocate. I have the best mom on the planet. So she's maybe the strongest female I've ever been around, and my sister, you know, as well. The cool thing is, so we do women empowerment games here, and our gymnastics coach, Jordan Weber, was the one that started it here. She's incredible. But when we really started diving into women's empowerment, I found that I have, you know, my college coach was a female, and I have only worked for females, which is pretty crazy. So when I think about my path, there have been some really, really incredibly strong leaders that are female that have shaped who I am in this profession. So, pretty cool to think about it on that level as well.
Yeah. And I remember playing, we were talking about like, oh, we feel old now or whatever. But I remember playing against Diane Neimeyer, who was your college coach too, when I was in college. And she was like an institution in Berkeley. And so to hear that she was one of your influences, and then of course your family is awesome. And your dad also played baseball, right? So you have
My dad played baseball and just retired last year. He coached at Fresno City College for, 30 some years. He retired as the winningest coach in Cal JUCO baseball history. So really, really cool. But yeah, we've just been around the sport forever. And it's, you know, baseball, softball, it goes hand in hand, but, it's an incredible sport with a ton of opportunity and really great humans. And it just keeps getting more and more exciting. So, we've been very, very lucky to have parents that pushed us in that, but then also just be around the sport of softball our entire lives.
Winningest coach in something that sounds familiar in your family.
Well, he would say that it's just because he's old. I would say it's because he is really, really good at what he does. And so, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. So, and then winningest coach in Arkansas softball. It's kind of crazy because I feel like we're just getting started. And so it was fun to get to celebrate that. And then it'll be really fun to see where we can get that number. So pretty cool.
Well, yeah. And lots of cool stuff came out of that too, which is exciting for attention to the game, right? And the program at Arkansas. But I saw that Bobby Bones gave you a shout out about when you hit that milestone. And for anyone who doesn't know, like I remember when I first, I don't even remember why, I think it was a reality show if we're honest, where I learned who he was. And he's been described as like the Ryan Seacrest of country music or of Nashville, basically. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. He's Yeah, he's a huge radio personality, but he also is in a band, and he has so, like, his hand in so many things. He's so, so talented. And the crazy thing is, in that, like, he's a, I mean, just a diehard Razorback fan. I haven't met him personally. So this is, you know, hopefully this reaches him and is like, hey, get your butt to Bogle, you know, but yeah. I haven't met him personally, but he has sent videos, he's posted. And the crazy thing is that his wife's sister is married to DJ Gasso, which is Patty Gasso's youngest son. And right. So he has, you know, some Utah softball, he has some Oklahoma softball ties, and, but he is a Razorback first and foremost, and he has a lot of pride in the Razorback. So it's kind of cool, the connection with softball. And, so yeah, and I'm looking forward to meeting him personally one day.
Yeah. But well, that's the movement we'll start after this. I'll have to actually mention that, hopefully, if I get to see DJ this weekend too, to mention yeah. that. And that's such a fun connection. I love that. That's yeah, really, really cool. But also, I will say too, the most meaningful shout outs that you probably got from on a personal level are from all the alums that you have worked with since being at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the video they put together giving you a congratulations for that milestone. And that was really, really cool to see. Like, when you think about the impact you've had. So what is it that you hope that these women who play for you take away the most?
I hope that they take away that I cared for them more as people than I did as players. I hope that they took away that they found their voice in this time, that they found strength. And I hope that I was a role model of that to them. But most of the things I hope they take away have nothing to do with the game itself. And, you know, what we try to do each day here is just make them proud that they went to Arkansas. And I think that we've done that, but that has been our goal is, you know, you want to have this pride in where you went. You want to have this pride in saying like, yeah, I was a Cal Bear, you know, I was a Cal Bear, and I'm just really proud that I went to Cal. I want every Razorback, every player that goes through here to say, yeah, I played Razorback softball. And not only that they are proud to play here, but they are proud of how we do things and who we are. And then I hope that we made a difference in their life. That video like hit me hard. I love and feel so fortunate for all the players and staff members and everybody that's been a part of this. And I just feel like I've gained so much more from them than they have probably from our program. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for this opportunity and then the position and the relationships that I get to have being in this position. So it's pretty cool. That video was awesome. Some of our head coaches here put together a video, and it's just such a special community and such a supportive group here. And I just feel so lucky. It's pretty cool.
I saw that video too. That was also really cool. But even you mentioned earlier too, like the women's empowerment games you have as a department too, not just one group or the other or one sport or the other. So I like that you guys have such a close-knit just family within the whole athletic department too. I think that's always special in collegiate athletics.
Yeah, it is. And it's unique. I don't think people realize how unique it is. When you get, you know, a group of all your head coaches from football to swimming and diving, to gymnastics, to golf, to tennis, basketball across the board, and everybody's in it together. And that's just not always the case. And it definitely starts at the top with our AD. Our AD, Hunter Juracek, is really, really special and creates such a connected community. And you just really do feel like you're all in it together and you're all on the same team and pulling for each other. And I mean, it's just really, really special. And I haven't always had that. So I will not take it for granted one day that I have this job. I'm really lucky.
Well, even just recognizing that, you know how they say, like, we don't realize like when we're living in the golden days or whatever it is, I feel like even the fact that you recognize like and have that gratitude is, even as coaches, as players, like that actually is really key for us as we move forward day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, perspective is everything. And I mean, you say that and it makes me think like we do a lot with gratitude with our team, but it's like sometimes you're so just into the day-to-day grind, you don't take a minute to just reflect and have perspective on all the great things that you get, all the great things that you have, all the great people that you're surrounded by. And you're just in this grind to be better and work hard and just keep pushing everything forward. And you can easily lose sight of where you are in the moment and who you're surrounded with and what you get to do. And so we try to be mindful of that every single day because we are in very fortunate positions and have a really strong village around us. And so make sure that they feel that from us as well.
Right. I saw a clip of a post-game speech or chat that you were having with the team recently, and you were talking about how having each other's backs is the biggest thing that you can do. And you said it also about the athletic department, like you're all on the same team, and you referenced to your team, it's about collectively pulling on the same side of the rope. And I liked that analogy a lot. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, yeah, I think that's what we try to do in every thing that we do in our program, every decision that we make, and everything that you do impacts someone else. And so when you can collectively all have a positive impact on those around you, no matter what role you're in or what you want to do, and you just keep pulling on the same side of the rope, it's a really, really strong collective force. And I felt like that, a couple weeks ago, we kind of hit a rough patch and that was the focus more than anything. It wasn't a skill thing. It wasn't a talent thing. It was, hey, we got to get back to the moment and we got to get back to just playing for each other and with each other. And when you do that, it takes a lot of that outside, pressure or anything outside, of your circle can have a negative impact on you. And so it's just kind of refocusing on what's important, refocusing on keeping our circle really tight and all continuing to pull on the same side of the rope. If you have someone that's not doing their job on that, it makes it really tough. And so it's just a constant reminder of we're in this together. We're in a position to where we can pick someone else up. We're in a team sport for a reason. And so let's make that the strongest team that we can.
I love that. I really, really like that because it's amazing how mental things are. Like you said it, you're like, it's not a skill thing. It's not a talent thing. You know, that's not really what it's about. It's the mental side of it. And what's that famous Yogi Berra quote too, where it's like the game is 90% mental, the other half physical or whatever.
Yeah. Couldn't be more true.
Right? I know. It's spot on. Spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this game's a funny game. We say it all the time. And it's like, you're going to fail more often than you succeed. And you have to move between failures without losing that enthusiasm or confidence, you know, and it's a crazy game. And it can make you think if you travel down that path that you're not good enough. Or if you listen to outside voices or pressures or anything, or you can start to live those lows or live the highs and just staying consistent with that and knowing who we are. And that's why we talk about keeping our circle tight, because nobody really knows what's going on the day to day except those in our circle. And so it's just making sure that we're speaking to each other, communicating to ourselves and each other in the right way and keeping ourselves in a good spot. So yeah, it's not an easy battle to fight, but we, just keep doing it the right way, hopefully.
I would say so, just from an outsider's perspective. And because when I think of Arkansas softball right now, one of the words that comes to mind to me is evolution. And I don't think that that's over by any means. Like you said, it's almost like you're still just getting started, even though it's you've come a long way as well. But, you know, SEC regular champions, regular season champions, back-to-back first ever tournament championship, like all of these things that are aligning in terms of the results. But it sounds like the biggest contributors are maybe mental, or what do you think, are the biggest contributors to that?
Well, I think it's, we've been really committed to how we do things from day one of getting here. We've been really, really committed to our approach, how we do things on and off the field, how we pour into each other on and off the field, how we connect on and off the field. So the overall day-to-day approach, not worrying about the outcome, because we do feel like when we really dive into all these other things in the moment and in our process, the outcome works for itself. When we've started to focus on the outcome too much, we get away from who we are. Refocusing, kind of getting our perspective back of, no, this is who we are. This is what we're going to focus on every day. And that's the crazy thing when you said it again, or I said it earlier, is like, we feel like we're just getting started. When you list those like team accolades, there's still a lot of firsts out there. Like, we just went to Alabama 2 weekends ago and won our first ever series there. And so there's still a lot of things that work into that evolution, or working to still pushing this program forward. We just won our first home series against Florida. So there's still a lot of firsts out there for this program as we still continue to push it forward and give it a national name. It's pretty exciting. And we do that by just focusing on who we are on a daily basis.
What is it about firsts that excites you?
Oh, well, shoot. I mean, there's a lot of things. First, you get to celebrate first. And so you get to take these like little steps towards a bigger picture. But whenever you do something for the first time, you it's interesting because I feel like you get to prove a lot of people wrong. Mm-hmm. I like taking that underdog approach. But I was just reading something in the last couple of weeks, and it was, I forget who it was. It actually might've been Coach Lawson at Duke, the women's basketball coach. I think she's brilliant. I just love watching her stuff. And it could have been her or not, but it was just talking about, how about trying to prove people right? Mm. How about trying to prove your family right, your coaches right, the people on your team right? And so it's just kind of finding that balance of, there's a lot of people that don't believe you can do it. You're doing it for the first time, so you've never shown that you can do it. And so you're working towards that. But there's a lot of people in your circle or you're surrounded by that have a huge belief in you and a lot of confidence in you individually and in the collective group. And so why don't we focus on all all the confidence that the people that are surrounded, that we're surrounded by, have in us, and proving them right that we know we can do it. So it was really cool. It kind of shifted my focus, shifted my perspective, and I really, really liked that. So there's a lot of awesome things about firsts, and there's always more out there to try to reach. So it's pretty, pretty awesome.
I think I'm going to put that in my back pocket. Like, that is, you're right. That is a really good way of thinking about it, and maybe a more just positive way, or just flipping it around a little bit. I really, really like that. I like that a lot.
It's pretty neat. It hit me pretty hard. So it's pretty cool.
Well, it actually reminds me a little bit, is I actually saw in an article maybe a couple seasons ago, you had said that the Arkansas team at that time, going on your postseason run, kind of reminded you of your Cal team that won the national championship, because you sort of shocked the world. You beat Jenny Finch for the national championship, mm-hmm. And I think I saw in that article too, that all the fans, other than maybe the parents section, were Arizona, you said, because that's who you were playing. But for you guys, it was like, well, it doesn't really matter because we are the only ones who think we're going to win, then that's fine. That's all we need. And that really stuck with me too.
Yeah, I still remember really vividly walking into our national championship game, and like literally everywhere you looked, it was Arizona, Super Finch. It was Jenny Finch's senior year, one of the most like incredible players to play the game. And everybody, and they're probably even maybe with some of our parents that didn't think we were going to win. But it was just one of those. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter what anyone here thinks. And it's just, you know, it's the game doesn't know. The game doesn't know that Jenny Finch is, you know, this superstar. We still have to, they don't start with a 5-run lead because of it. And so, you know, it's just making sure you have that right mindset and just believing in yourself and the people that you're surrounded by and knowing that that's enough.
Yeah. And you say the game doesn't know. That's something that I think about all the time, especially when, you know, all throughout the year, it's like, oh, huge upset over here, or upset over there. And it's like, well, you know, I get that it's an upset maybe if you look at rankings and things, but is it really, right? So I agree with you. Like, the game doesn't know who's supposed to win. But also at the same time, you said earlier how you really focus on how you guys do things. So in that mm-hmm. sense, though, the game does know if you're respecting it or not, right? So it's Absolutely. This kind of interesting, like, dual thing going on.
Yeah, the game will expose you if you're cheating part of the process. And so it does know that if you're not respecting the game, if you're not playing it the right way, I do think that it will bite you in the butt. Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of upsets. I also think there's 5 different sets of rankings that, like, what? You know, so we don't get caught up in that. You know, what's interesting is that going through that concept with, I have 2 sons, so they're 7 and 5. And going through that concept with them is interesting because they, you know, looking at the basketball tournament or looking at our matchups on the weekend, it's like, okay, well, mom, your team's 10 and that team's 17, so you should win. It's like, no. That's like, that's not how, you know, well, that was upset because 1 lost to 7. It's like, yeah, but like, you don't get a head start because you have a different number in front of your name. That number means nothing. And so it's been interesting to find new ways to explain that to a 7-year-old. And it just gives you a different perspective. There's never been more parity in our game specifically. I think it's spreading to other sports, but the unique thing about softball always is that on any given day, number 4 could lose to number 200, you know, like it's a crazy game. It's kind of like soccer in that way. I think soccer is very similar to where you could dominate a game and then give up a fluke goal and lose 1-0. You could dominate a game in softball and they hit a dink hit and then there's a wild pitch and then an error and you lose. And you might be hitting it on the nose right to them the whole game. And, you know, so you just never know. And so it's just been really interesting to kind of find new ways to explain it to a 7-year-old, which then, you know, broadens your focus or of how to put it into the best terms for a college team or anything. It's just like, well, the game doesn't know. They don't get a head start because they have a higher number. We don't get a head start if we have a higher number. You have a higher number, you have more of a target on your back. And so you're going to get their best game. And so it demands your best game. It demands that you play the game the right way. And so, you know, all those things that kind of come with that. That was a long answer. I don't think you were really bargaining for when that topic came up, but it's just interesting.
The whole thing. Yeah. It is interesting. And you know what? It's funny. The more and more I talk with coaches, the more I realize the parallels between parenting and coaching. Also, yeah. To your point, because it's teaching, right, at the end of the day. So there are a lot of things that sort of align in that way.
Yeah, I do think that my boys have made me a better coach for a lot of reasons. But yeah, there are a lot of things that align. And sometimes it's just, you know, giving grace to individuals or the balance, the perspective, you know, all of those things that, you know, make you a little bit more of not well-rounded, but just forces you to have to look at things a different way. And I think it's really benefited myself and our program.
Well, and even the fact that, so we're talking about women's empowerment, you have sons mm-hmm. and they get to see you as a strong woman in a leadership position. How important do you think that is?
It's huge. It's huge. Well, it's huge in two different ways. So one, they get to see me as a coach, right? So they come to the field, it's their team. And so they get to see me in that position. Our players get to see me as a mom. I think so often females count themselves out or will talk themselves out of something before thinking that, oh, I don't know if I can do that, or I don't know, it's going to be too hard. And a lot of times you hear that with young coaches saying, I don't know that I can do this. I want to have a family. One, I have a really strong village and my husband is amazing. So there's a lot of contributing things to that. But our players get to see that you can do both. And as females, I think that we are superhuman. I think that no matter how much is put on your plate, you can handle it. And you don't know how much you can handle until you really start to like go through that, what's piled up, you know? Yeah. And so I think that it's pretty cool to be in that position for my boys to see and for our team to see and for those worlds to overlap. The other super cool thing about it is that the best athletes that my boys know are my players. And so it's really cool because, one, my oldest, he's seven, Trip, plays this game called Baseball Nine. It's like a little game, like on my phone. Well, he gets to create his entire team. So he gets to, name his players and all those things. Well, his team is my team. So his team is like, he's like, hey mom, you know, who's up now? Riley Cloud, Riley Cloud's the MVP. And I'm like, oh, and so he literally, his entire team are my players. And so I think that's just the coolest thing ever. He also was playing this game. This is another long answer. Sorry, but I just love it.
Let's do it.
He was playing. So we have an old Wii system. Okay. Like the old Wii, and he was playing this baseball game with my husband. And Derek Jeter came up. It was like an all-star baseball game. And Derek Jeter came up, and Derek Jeter's been retired now for, you know, most of Tripp's life, or since he was aware of players. And so he's like, who's Derek Jeter, dad, you know? And so my husband's like, oh, well, he was a shortstop for the Yankees, one of the best to ever play the game. And at that time, our shortstop's name was Braxton Burnside, and she was an incredible player. And so his response to Joe's answer was like, oh, like Braxton? And he goes, yeah, exactly, bud. Exactly like Braxton, one of the best to ever play. And so it was just really cool because he has such an appreciation for who my players are in his life. And so when he looks at really strong athletes that he wants to emulate, it's my players. And I can't think of better role models for him or, you know, my younger son, Walt. I think it's incredible. I get chills thinking about it. And I also have an incredible husband that, you know, just loves, you know, women's sports and our team and has such a huge appreciation for what they do and who they are to our boys and everything. So pretty cool.
I mean, that just warms my heart. Like, I literally felt like I was like getting just warmer listening to it because it just makes me happy. It's awesome. And I think you're right too. It's like the partner that you choose, this is why they say that in general, is very important in life. But in terms of like you raising your sons as well, like it's huge. Like that support has to be there too, you know, like regardless of anything else. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's awesome. And I'm really lucky. So.
I'm going to have to take a page out of your book because I have an 8-year-old nephew who loves baseball, obsessed. He loves Trey Turner. That's his thing.
Okay.
From Southern California, so it was the Dodger thing, but now he's wearing a Phillies hat every now and then because of Trey Turner. But I'm trying to introduce him to some softball things. Like, he's watched me call some games, and I've told him, I'm like, you know, I'm better than your dad at baseball and softball. Like, I'm better than him. And he's like, he's obsessed with my brother. So he's like, no, no, can you hit it this far? My dad can hit it this far. I'm like, no, I'm better. Like, I promise you I'm better.
Where you're like, if I was just a different gender, I'd be a millionaire.
That too, yeah. Right? Like, yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast, but pretty much.
Yeah, right. Well, and you played, but you played pro softball too, and it's obviously changed a bunch in the last few years and just over time. But that's something that, you know, I'm hoping that with the attention we get, for example, and like Arkansas softball is getting so much more attention. It's amazing. Our collegiate sport is. But hopefully we can start to translate that a little bit more into the pro scene.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful too. I mean, it's still tough because we have competing forces with our pro leagues. And so But there's more opportunity than ever. And I think where it starts is just putting a better product out, you know, and I think that that's something that was cool to see with Athletes Unlimited this past summer is that, you know, it's tough when you go from the college season and it's on every ESPN platform. The product that's put out is top notch. And if we don't have that same level of broadcast, it loses its luster a little bit, even though it's such an explosive, dynamic, high level game, it loses its luster a little bit. And so it was really cool to see just that they're continuing to get more support each year. And it's really, really exciting to see. But I think, you know, yeah, I mean, it would be awesome if we created or had something where these players had something to play after college. I mean, the only one you really can create a living for is playing in Japan. We just sent Taylor Ellsworth off to Japan to play over there. I played over there for 3 years. It's an incredible opportunity. So I'm really, really excited that she got to experience that. But, you know, we're taking baby steps towards having more opportunity for our players. And, you know, I see it getting big. I don't know how it couldn't. When you look at the college game and the exposure and the viewership and the support, it's like, how are we not creating something for them to play after that when females are in their prime years?
Yep.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, we have some new leadership and hopefully they keep pushing the sport forward and people keep wanting to get on board to create, you know, a bigger thing for our players. It's huge. So I'm hopeful. Optimistic.
I love that you brought that up. That's something I actually just talked to Laura Berg about last weekend when I mentioned that she was in town about how your prime really as a player is not necessarily mm-hmm. your college years. It's really like maybe later in your 20s or it depends really, but she's right. someone who had a 20-year career, right? And there are others who have, Monica Abbott just retired. She played for what felt like forever, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah, it's like we're cutting ourselves short a little bit if we don't take advantage of that a little bit more. And I've heard great things about Japan from everyone I've talked to that's played there. So I'm glad you had a good experience too.
Yeah, it's such a cool opportunity. I'm just so thrilled for Taylor to get that experience. It's really, really cool. So yeah. Pretty neat.
Yeah, I feel like the themes I've heard from people are that it feels like a real professional experience, like, cause the mm-hmm. crowds are there. There's like corporate sponsorships with like Toyota and all these other companies over there that support. And I think that's really cool that we have that option. I mean, love it. Would love to have more of that in the US, of course, but like, yeah. That's great that it's so international too.
Yeah. There's so many things they do right over there that would be really cool if we could replicate. but it's just a true professional experience. You know, it's the companies support the teams. It's prestigious for their companies to own teams. So it shows your company's doing well. And then there's like the company employees come to the games. There's like bands, there's, you know, and then they travel around Japan. And the Japanese are so good at just supporting sports. They're fanatics about it. And so everywhere you go, the venues are just packed. And just this really cool environment with, I mean, bands and cheerleaders and fans. And it's a really cool thing that you don't really have the full grasp of until you get over there and experience it. And so there's just so many things that they're doing right for the sport. And so when people are like surprised at how good they are, when it comes to the Olympics and all that, it's like, yeah, they play year round.
Right.
I mean, they probably take a week off total on the year. They support this sport in such a way that that's their job. It's these players' job.
Right.
And they're allowed to train and become their best and also play through their best years. It's a model that would be really cool to bring over here for it to take off. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
We're moving. We're moving that way. We're
day by
moving
day.
In the right direction. Yeah.
But there is a little bit of like, if you build it, they will come, you know? And so that's something that we're trying to do here. But I feel like you've done that a bit at Arkansas too. Like Bogle Park seems like a special place. I have not been able to go, but just.
Well, what are you waiting for?
I know. Me and Bobby Bones, like, what are we doing?
Why don't you guys come in together? I don't know.
What are we doing? But it seems awesome. I mean, I saw fireworks there recently. You broke an attendance record. What was it? Over 9,400 people showed up recently. It was like the 2022 NFCA Field of the Year, I think I saw too. Like, all of these things are amazing. Like, what do you think makes it so special?
Well, it's the support here and the people. I mean, the people across the board are the difference maker here. And so when you look at like, 2022 Field of the Year, our field guy, Austin Freeman, is the best in the bet. He's the best.
Yeah.
He takes so much pride in just making Bogle Park the absolute best that there is. But he also takes a lot of pride in our players and being a really important part to what we do every day. Like, they're his players and this is his team. And that's the same sentiment felt in everybody that touches our program. When we got here, we felt like, yeah, if we build it, they're going to come. We knew this fan base was there. We just had to win them over. Yeah. And when we first got here, we didn't necessarily, have the outcome that was going to win them over. You know, that's where we focused on our process a lot. We focused on our approach. We focused on who we are, how we play, what that looks like. And so we're like, we're going to win them over with how we play the game, how we compete, our personalities, our joy and our passion for what we do. And so each year we've gained more fans. Now we have the outcome piece to that as well. But the fan, we knew they were here if we gave them a product that they were proud of. And so they have shown up tremendously. And yeah, I think we just, 9,400 over three games is pretty exciting. I think we're number two in attendance in the country. And it's pretty cool because in my first few years, we didn't even charge. We were just like, anyone come, like, come on, come watch us. And now I think we were over 700 or 800 more requests than there were season tickets. And so when you look at the growth of the program and the sport in Arkansas, I mean, that's just so exciting. And there's nothing like a full Bogle Park. I think we have the best stadium in the country, and the ability for fans to sit completely around the field. And you just feel like you're surrounded by this loyal, tremendous fan base that you feel like they have your back. And it's a really, really cool environment to be in. And just, it just shows the support of the community and the state. And it's really, really special.
I'll be honest, like, having played at some SEC locations too, like, the conference has that fan base, man. It is cool to see people tailgating softball games,
if you build it, they'll come, those stadiums across. It's like the stadiums that are in the SEC, the product that is on the field every day. How can you not love it? Yeah. And we're seeing that when you have those stadiums on these campuses, they get filled. And it's a really, really exciting sport that people want to watch. And so we just have to give them the way to do that. So it's pretty cool.
Well, and it's cool that within that SEC landscape too, like, Arkansas has just risen, right? Like, and I don't even just mean, like, to your point, the outcomes, just in terms of, yeah, that joy, that passion, that visibility, really. That you're getting on the national stage. Where do you think Arkansas fits in the SEC landscape now? Like, what do you think the Razorbacks represent?
Well, I think that we have made a name for ourselves. I think when we first got here, you could use the SEC and say, oh, we're in the SEC. And that, I don't know that everyone knew in the softball world that Arkansas was in the SEC. Mm. And I think now we're in different conversations because we've made a name for ourselves. We compete at a high level. I think when you watch us, you can feel how much we care for each other through the TV. You can definitely feel it when you're in the stadium, but through the TV, you can feel who we are. And so we play at a high level, but you can feel who we are. And so I think that where we fit in the SEC, I think that we've established ourselves as one of the strong teams in the SEC in a league that's tougher top to bottom than any other league in the country. I think that we've created respect for ourselves, that we didn't need, but we've gained that in how we've played and how we've done things. And so, it's an exciting time to be an Arkansas Razorback. I can tell you that. And it's an exciting to be a part of Razorback softball.
Well, it's exciting to watch it too. And just to cover it as well. I've really, really enjoyed it because I just have so much respect for also people yourself, but your entire program as well, staff, everyone, even your field guy that you said is the best, right? Like everybody, it's when you build something up, that's what's like really impressive to me. And it's been really, really cool seeing that happen for you guys in
Arkansas. Thank you. Yeah. It's been cool to be a part of it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Well, I will tell you, I'll add you to the list of Cal grads that I like, you know, like this is not what I expected in life, but
but we're not all so bad, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm telling you, I don't know how like my, you know, former teammates would feel about me saying that, but yeah.
Well, it's recorded now. So
I know
there's forever a record of it.
On record. I know. What am I doing to myself? Well, before I let you go for the rest of the day, I play a little game with everybody that comes on the show to wrap up. It's called Safer Out. It's easy. Don't worry. I know some people get nervous, but it's
get
fun.
Nervous?
No, it's fun. It's fun. Basically, okay. I'll bring something up and softball related. And if you like it or agree with it, you call it safe. If you don't, then you call it out. So you're an umpire.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't worry. Simple.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay. First one is players giving Gatorade baths to coaches. Safe or out?
Safe. I mean, for a reason, obviously. I got a very nice Gatorade bath after the SEC tournament championship. I smelled like orange for like 24 hours, but I would take that again, safe all the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason for it, obviously safe. But I've always wondered, like, is that actually kind of miserable to be like covered? No. It's not. Okay, great. Love that.
Nope. Because you're just so excited for your team. It's like you can... I think the question would be what's like those bowl games and it's like the Mayo Bowl. It's like, ooh.
True.
But orange Gatorade, it's not so bad. It's sticky, but it's okay.
That's
good
fine.
Reason.
Stop
yeah,
the shower.
Good reason to be sticky.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. Second one is NIL, safe or out?
Safe. I think we need to rein it back in a little. Mm-hmm. It gets... I like that they have the opportunity to do it, but I think our department does it the right way. I think it's getting a little out of control. And I think we're going to lose a little bit of, the athletic, you know, just the, what it's about, but I like that they have the opportunity. So I'm in the middle, but I lean safe on this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I feel like the way I thought about it, being a student athlete, it's like double duty, right? In some ways, it almost feels like triple duty if you're mm-hmm. also doing what is basically a job in some ways, you know? So it feels like even more that's on the student athletes. Yeah. And it's crazy.
Yeah,
but
they have a lot. They have a lot on their plates and a lot of things to juggle.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one is bat flips. Safe or out?
Out.
What makes you say out?
I am a traditionalist probably more than anything. And so I've always probably been more in favor of the play making the statement rather than the emotion or the reaction. I think there is time for a good bat flip. But I'd rather just act like you've done it and get in there. So
yeah,
out. Probably not a popular opinion.
It's mixed, I would say. When I ask folks, yeah, I think it's totally mixed. Also, I feel like maybe you're like okay with the celebration, the Gatorade bath after the win is good.
Oh yeah,
but maybe not like maybe the during the game. Maybe we wait till we finish.
Yeah, the championship has to be won.
There you go.
Before the Gatorade gets thrown on anybody. But yeah.
There you go. That's fair. All right. Two safes and an out. I like it. Well, thank you again, Coach. This was really fun. I really appreciate your time. I'm super excited to watch you all the rest of the season and just the seasons moving forward. Really excited for Arkansas softball. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. This was a blast. I had a really good time. Thank you.
I've been wanting to have Courtney Dyfel on the show for a long time, or Courtney Scott, as a lot of her fans from back in her playing days know her. And it was even better than I thought it would be, you know. And as somebody whose mascot was literally a color, just the cardinal red color, I can appreciate unique mascots like the Razorbacks as well. So with that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about pausing. I think we're so used to pressing play in our lives and constantly being active just in all areas of our lives. Sometimes it seems like today's society is really feast or famine. It's like either we're overworked and overstressed, or we're in full-on couch potato mode. Like, there isn't a lot of in-between sometimes. And I think it makes sense to a certain degree, because it's when you work hard, you recover hard. And I feel that. You know, I go from working 7 days a week for a while, especially during the college softball season. Then I'll get a day off and I'll want to sleep a lot, you know, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But where I have found the most value is actually pausing amidst the chaos. I'm an overanalyzer naturally. You know, listeners who have been around for a while know this. So sometimes not thinking and just reacting is helpful for me. Kind of like when you're in the box, right? It's just see ball, hit ball. Don't think about it too much. But you know what? More often than not, when it comes to the big picture and your approach, pausing to give yourself a beat before you react to something is more effective. And I thought of this when Coach Dyfel was talking about how they really emphasize at Arkansas how they do things. They're not just doing things arbitrarily and in a reactionary way. They pause and think about how they're going to do it. And it made me think back too to when we had Victoria Hayward on the show, and she shared a Heatherism from her time under Coach Heather Tarr at UW, which is how you do anything is how you do everything. I think it's important, you know, and we talk about knowing our why a lot. Why are we doing things? What's our motivation? But I think knowing your how is also important. So that's it. Pause. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of Believe Network and presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com and on YouTube too. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, and if you liked it, write a review for it. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. Again, that's B-L-E-A-V. You can reach out to me personally on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.